is the Monday Mindset Podcast, where we share things of interest to us and hopefully to you.
So let's get started with episode number 40. We're at 40 already, Terry.
Amazing.
And this week it's Terry's turn to share something she's found interesting. So what have you got for us today, Terry?
Well, I chose an episode from a podcast that I don't always listen to, but I hop in once in a while. And the podcast is called Happy Place. And the guest on this episode was Gabby Bernstein. I have numerous friends that follow her, read her books, listen to everything she does, and I've never followed her. So I thought, well, I'll give this one a try. So there were some things from this week that I wanted to share, but I feel like I have to give a bit of a disclaimer on this episode, because for some people, this might be an episode that causes some eye rolling, some disbelief, because it is a little bit about what some people might experience as a little bit woo-woo. So I just like to put that out there, that if this is not your thing, there's no harm in that, but that is very much kind of what Gabby Bernstein presents. So I'll talk a little bit about this episode.
I'm intrigued.
So for those who don't follow Gabby Bernstein, as I have not, it might be helpful to know she is a New York Times bestselling author. She is a motivational speaker and kind of a bit of a spiritual connector for some people. She's written, I think, 8 bestsellers. Her most recent one is You Are the Guru. So Fern, the woman who does this podcast, is very much a fan of Gabby Bernstein. So she was so excited to get to talk to her. She was fangirling and was just so excited. So she wanted to know a little bit of kind of how Gabby got to where she is today with writing these books and everything, and what made her come to this awareness, kind of the spiritual awareness. And she said that for her, she got sober, I think in her early 20s, maybe she was like 25. And she got sober, and it was such a turning point in her life because it really opened her up to a spiritual relationship that really forced her and gave her opportunity to understand why she was using in the first place. So rather than just giving up a problematic behavior, and this goes back to some other episodes we've had, but that she had to understand why she was using that behavior. And she referred to it as, you know, why she was running and anesthetizing herself as an addict. And I think this is really important for a lot of us. Mm-hmm. And when we think about habits that are derailing us. So one of the things she talked about is that she had to come out of holding herself back because of past fear-based learning. And she described that many of us learn a lot of fear-based things growing up, and that in letting go of them, she was able to reclaim a space of serenity within herself. And that doing so, letting go of this fear-based system, really helped her to grow closer to feeling a sense of freedom. So in her process of recovery and her developing spirituality, she talked about the importance of facing shame and trauma and our dark moments and those times where we hit rock bottom to reclaim the truth of who we really are. And that is the process that she's been going through. And I thought you would like this part, Daisy, because in her own journey, and even after writing several New York Times bestselling books and kind of being known as a guru, she went through a period of postpartum depression so severe that she was suicidal. Wow. And so clearly helped her to see that she still has things that she's working through. And she's currently using IFS, or internal family system type of therapy, which was based on a model of therapy that Richard Swartz began. And in this, basically, you acknowledge and address all of the parts of yourself. And I know, Daisy, you've talked about this before in conversations you and I have had about how kind of aligned with this theory that you are. So it's not kind of lobbing off parts of ourselves. You know, we have part of ourselves that's very fearful. We have We may have parts of ourselves that are very angry and resentful. And rather than just pretending we don't have these parts or trying to ignore them, to actually be able to acknowledge them and integrate them, and to have the true self, like capital S-E-L-F, that's the adult resource, the part of us that has the ability to hold and respect the other parts of ourselves. And then it makes it easier for them to show up, and we can soothe them, we can meet their needs rather than being kind of at a battle. So one of her books is called Super Manifester. And this is where I started to get a little more excited, because I'm pretty big into the idea of law of attraction and the concept of manifesting and how we manifest things in our lives, how we manifest our future, our relationships, our career steps. And she also mentioned several times Abraham Hicks, who I follow and listen to daily and have actually attended an in-person session. She talked about the idea that in order to manifest the things you want in your life, you have to be in alignment with having inspiration and to be in the space of energy that is free, joyful, grounded, and inspired. And that if you can be in that place, she says that we are all super attractors. And she actually has a book called that. And therefore, you can attract whatever you want. What a lot of us do, though, is we have a list of things we want, but we hold a lot of limiting beliefs that say that we can't actually have them. So if we say, I want to be a millionaire, but people like me can't make money, people like me will never be able to be wealthy, then it doesn't matter that we want it. And so some people, when they, I think, listen to something like The Secret or something about manifestation, they get very frustrated because they hear this, oh, if I just say I want it, then I'll get it. And that doesn't happen. Mm. But the point really is that you have to be open and be in a good space in order to receive what it is that you say that you want. She then talked about the next part in that is that you have to be able to address the thoughts and stories that you keep telling yourself that may be out of alignment with that goal. So again, those limiting beliefs. And as Abraham Hicks always says, a belief is just a thought that we keep having. And so we can change our beliefs. We can interrupt our thoughts and get to be in better alignment with what we actually want. So in part of talking about being a super attractor and manifesting things, she talked about the idea that what we need to do, and many of us already talk about this, but is to focus on what we can control. And what we really can control is how we choose to perceive the world around us. Many of us do a lot of reacting, and we react to everything that's going on around us in our environments, in the world, whatever that is. But she talks about, because we can't control any of that, we have to focus on our perception of the world around us. And I think this is a really important piece. And then she said, the secret is to forget what you think you need. Have faith that you have a desire, but then it's about kind of giving this over to a spiritual source that will then meet the need. And so she isn't talking any one religion. She kind of talks about it more as just a spiritual belief. So whatever that is, in here, she talked about universe. I use the word source. Mm. So it's not necessarily talking about any specific God, but, you know, a spiritual source. It could be ancestors. It could be angels, whatever your kind of belief system is. What a lot of people struggle with around the concept of law of attraction is that it sounds like if you just say you want something, it will appear. And so Abraham Hicks always uses the example, if you say, I want a sports car, and then every 20 minutes you keep running to the garage and opening the door and saying, see, it's not here yet. This doesn't work. One of the problems with that is that we're focusing so much on not having what we want. We're in a place of lack. And therefore, kind of energetically, and this is all about energy, vibration of energy, we're not in the place to receive it because we're focused on the lack of it. So Gabby in this interview talks about the idea that when we hold so tightly to what we want to achieve, we end up choking off our receptivity to receiving it. And I've mentioned this before in some other episodes. We hear so much about achieve more, do more, be a hustler, go make more, overachieve. And she and a number of people are a little bit more like, we have to know what we want, but then get in that place of being able to receive it rather than work harder for it. But instead to get into alignment with and feel what it would be in the expression of that manifestation. So if I want to be in love, I have to start focusing on experiences of love, not lack of it.
Yeah, it makes sense. You've almost got to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if, you know, if your goal was to, whatever, run the 100 meters faster,
mm-hmm.
you've got to practice to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if your goal is to find the love of your life, you've kind of got to get into the whole atmosphere of the situation to be receptive to it, haven't you?
You've got to be giving more love. You've got to be loving other people, loving your friends, loving your family, whatever that is, to be in that vibration of that feeling. And it also reminds me of the idea from what you talked about with James Clear. And a lot of people talk about that idea of faking it till you make it. I think this is a way that it's not about faking it. It's about putting yourself in that feeling state before the thing comes. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. So again, she focuses on that it's less about doing and more about being. And so being in that emotional place, experiencing the emotion of what you want to manifest rather than just hustling more to achieve it. She makes another reference then to Abraham Hicks, who has what they created as an emotional guidance scale. And on this scale, basically, it's each emotion that general people have, and that each emotion has a certain vibration attached to it. And feelings like anger and hatred are very low vibration. And feelings like joy and, you know, enthusiasm, they have very high vibration. So one of the things that Gabby highlighted about that using Abraham Hicks scale is that our goal should always be to reach for a better feeling one level up at a time. So sometimes when you think about when someone's really angry or when they're really sad, like something really upsetting just happened, someone tries to tell them a joke to make them laugh and be in that place of feeling joyful. Well, you can't jump from level 2 up to level 17, but you can get up to level 3 and then level 4. And so she uses the example of if you're in a state of despair, even moving up to a level of envy, which some of us might still say, oh, that's not a good feeling to have, but it's a step up from despair. And so it's kind of just moving up this ladder of the vibration of different emotions. And again, talks about the idea that the things that usually hold us back from this are our limiting beliefs and the negative thinking. So it's hard to move from one level to the next because we keep focusing on, let's say, for example, I'm angry. I keep focusing on why what that person did made me so mad and why I'm so justified to be angry versus I don't want to hang out here very long. I need to stop going down that same path. And you and I just talked about this recently so that I can move to that next level, which is going to free me up to move to a higher level.
Yes, that's interesting. So do they talk about how you actually do that? I mean, you mentioned there things that you stop doing, like, you know, stop carrying on with things that are sort of holding you at that level. But they talk about, you just mentioned about how you can't necessarily jump up a number of levels. But I was thinking when you said that about, you know, telling someone a joke to try and get them to jump up. But can you use some kind of tool like that won't necessarily get you from the place you're in up to that level, but it might help you just move up a few rungs, you know, on the ladder? And I'm just wondering if they, you know, they offered you some kind of tool for how you actually do that.
They didn't talk specifically about that, but my, you know, years of following Abraham Hicks, I would say their stance on that is well, this is Terry's interpretation of this part, but someone telling me a joke when I'm sobbing is not going to make me go from deep sadness to joy, but it's going to disrupt my sadness. It's going to distract me. It's going to, you know, maybe jolt me out of it.
Exactly. Might take the edge off.
And then I have some potential to move up a little bit with my next thoughts. So maybe then I can say, okay, well, actually, you know, I'm grateful this person's here and I'm hungry, so let's go get lunch. So I'm already at a little bit of a different feeling vibration. Abraham Hicks has a whole book of activities that you can practice to do that. But
right.
But the idea being we need to focus on not keeping ourselves stuck at that vibration level. We want to allow ourselves to move up to something that feels better, but not expect ourselves to be able to jump to the ultimate good feeling feelings. That's too far of a stretch for us.
Right. Yes, that's the trick, I think. Because I've literally kind of used that trick. You know, I remember a time when I was in hospital and feeling really, really awful because of a conversation I had with somebody. And I literally started watching. I thought, I know what will help. And I put in a search term in YouTube, I think, videos of cute puppies and kittens or something. And yes, it wasn't with the expectation that I was suddenly going to feel great, but it was just disrupting that moment of despair and overwhelming sadness, and just to help me shift out of that without, you know, jumping straight up into feelings of, oh, love and joy because I'm watching cute videos of puppies and kittens.
It's funny you bring up that example because Abraham Hicks often brings up an example similar of just saying, you know, if you're wanting to manifest something positive, you know, a positive relationship or whatnot, but you're stuck in these negative feelings, negative thoughts, she says, I don't really care what you do to get yourself just in a more positive place, because again, that's where you're going to be receptive to what the universe is kind of lining up for you. So if you like kittens, think about kittens. Yes.
Something you know is going to work, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is what they did talk about in the interview. So maybe this does address your question. She talked about, she has a specific technique she calls the choose again method. So basically, you notice the thought that keeps making you feel bad. So notice it, be aware of it. Forgive yourself for having the thought, and that this can help separate you from the thought. And you and I have talked about this before, recognizing that you are not the thought. And you and I have talked about that, like with depression or anxiety. And then reach for the next best feeling thought. So let's say, for example, I got a D on a test. Rather than keeping all my negative talk going, I'm so stupid, I didn't study hard enough, I'm never going to succeed. Recognize if I keep saying that, I'm going to continue to feel bad. Instead, I'm going to say, it's okay that I thought that. That's just a thought that I'm having. You know, I actually could have gotten a worse grade. So I obviously knew something for this test. So it's just that next level up. And I think this is important too, to think about what some people hear when people try to turn things around is they, again, try to jump to something super positive.
Yeah.
This person's upset or they're upset. They've just failed a test. And they say, it's okay. You don't like that class anyway. Well, that's not the next level up. That's...
Yes, it's too far removed. And it tends to, you just tend to close down and and not sort of believe it at all because it is too much of a jump.
Correct.
Whereas, yes, you're right. If it was just a couple of steps removed, it would be easier to take that and actually feel a bit better from that.
Absolutely. She said, really, it's about being open to positive possibility and reaching for that next level of feeling, thought, that next level, rather than staying stuck at the one that really feels bad. She talked about the idea that we have within ourselves and we have people in our lives who are resistors. So our own beliefs or other people who will tell you that you can't feel or do better. This is as good as you're going to feel with this. This is as good as you can do with this. And hold you in your own disbelief of a more positive outcome. And so being mindful of resistors, not listening to those beliefs within yourself, and being careful not to surround yourself with others who are resistors. So that really you have to work on creating a positive belief in your ability rather than just decide you want it. Your ability to attract is based on your energy, which either makes you receptive or closed off. So we can leave ourselves or keep ourselves in an energy vibration level that closes us off and doesn't allow things to come to us. So for example, if I keep avoiding looking at my bank statement because I don't feel like I have enough money, and I know this sounds really hokey to some people, but I'm expressing an energy to, I don't want to look at my money. I don't want to see money. I don't want it in my life. And therefore, money will not be attracted to me. I'm closing myself off from it. And then the last thing they talked about, she said, Fern was so excited to get to hear her talk about this because I guess it's in all her books, but to talk about signs, seeing signs of things. And Gabby focused on the idea, and this goes back to something you and I just said a little while ago, that what a lot of us do when we want something or we have a goal, our thought is that I will be happy when I get that thing. When that car is in the garage, I will be happy. Mm. When I get in that relationship, then I will be happy. Rather, her approach, and similar to what Abraham Hicks would say, when I am happy or aligned, that thing will come. Mm. Wayne Dyer often talks about the idea that we as humans often say, I'll believe it when I see it. And he always says, no, you'll see it when you believe it. Mm. Another point that Gabby emphasizes, and she knows people are very resistant to this when she first says it, but the key to feeling good is to decide to stop feeling bad. Now, it doesn't mean to just ignore that you feel bad or just shut it down, but it's about refusing to stay there. And so again, she kind of went into her own example when she was in that severe state of depression and was feeling suicidal. For her, it was daily devotionals and, you know, a lot of kind of prayer that she did to believe that something was going to be able to help her feel better, that her faith, her confidence in things. So the key to feeling good is to decide to stop feeling bad. And then the last thing I thought you would like is she talked a little bit about gratitude. But one of the ways that she talked about it a little differently, oftentimes I think we're all focused on gratitude for the positive things. Focus on the positive, reinforce the positive. And she really said, you know, yes, that's important, but also allowing yourself to acknowledge the difficult things and being grateful, the guidance that they give us, that they teach us and bring us to a state of changing. So being grateful for even difficult things. Mm. And again, I think that's something that many of us probably, you know, may struggle with at first. And also to focus on what's thriving. So when we're struggling with something, to really focus on what parts of my life, what parts of this experience are going well? So her current example is that she is wanting to have another child and is having a very difficult time getting pregnant and had a difficult time getting pregnant with her last son. So what she's doing right now is focusing her gratitude on, although she's, you know, it's a struggle not to be able to get pregnant, she's really trying to be so grateful for the love and the excitement and all of the connection that she feels with her son. Again, go back to the whole theory behind all of this. That's going to put her vibrationally at a point of being more receptive to a baby coming. Mm. And again, I know sometimes when I say that, I almost cringe because I know people who, if they don't think like this, they're going to say to me, no, Terry, we know there's something else that causes babies to come. But if you believe in that, there's kind of a energetic force behind things, I think it's important to think about she's setting herself up to be receptive to manifest what she is wanting.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. I think even if you don't buy into it completely, just thinking about being open and receptive, and it ties into so many other things we've spoken about, you know, taking small steps in the right direction, but just getting your mindset and your head into the place mm-hmm. you're trying to head for, inhabiting the identity that you want to become, mm-hmm. you know, all of these things, unless you start practicing it, unless you start imagining that person that you want to be, creating that energy, however you want to look at it, you've got to set those vibrations off in the right direction. Mm-hmm. It's difficult, isn't it, when you talk on this subject, not to sound woo-woo. I'm thinking to myself, you're mm-hmm. sounding woo-woo now, Daisy. But
I can already hear the naysayer's response to what I'm saying when I yeah. say it. It's like, because I was one. I was someone who would have said, that is so stupid.
Well, and I also think, to be fair, how these things have been presented. I watched a video ages ago, you know, about the book, The Secret. And I can remember them saying, you know, you have to write down on a piece of paper, what is it you want? And you fold that piece of paper up and you go back and you look at it in a month and lo, you will have that thing. And I think I might have even done it. And, you know, I thought it was stupid as I was doing it. And of course, when I opened that piece of paper, I didn't have whatever it was. But so to be fair, I think, it, you know, a lot of people presented it in the wrong way. Mm-hmm. One, mm-hmm. I think there was this encouragement that what you were writing on a piece of paper was a thing, was something of material mm-hmm. value, mm-hmm. which straight away is sort of setting yourself up for thinking in that black mm-hmm. and white thinking of have or have not, and which is not mm-hmm. the right kind of energy. So I think it's, you know, part of the issue is just sort of approaching this from mm-hmm. the right direction, really, and the way that probably it was intended.
Mm-hmm. For me, while, you know, I've been kind of learning new things in this way of thinking over the past couple of years, I've said to you recently, coincidences. What I used to think were just coincidences, mm-hmm. now I see that that's not really true, that there's a reason why these things are presenting at the same time. Or, you know, just recently, I think I shared with you in a recent episode that we did, a client had asked a question in a group and I gave my opinion, but, you know, I didn't have the concrete thing. And the next day I opened my phone to listen to a podcast and the first one that came up was the answer to that question. And just recently I had an experience where I gifted a friend something. And I'm not always great about doing that, but I just wanted this person to have something and I gifted them something. They didn't know I sent it. And by doing that, the next day, I was gifted something. So, you know, again, the law of attraction, by me giving and sharing with someone, being generous, put me into an open place to receive that. It wasn't just a coincidence.
And also just thinking about it logically, going back to one of the Kaizen episodes where I spoke about, you know, asking the small questions. Mm-hmm. It's just getting your brain in the right frame of mind, as it were, to be on the lookout for things. Mm-hmm. I can't remember which episode it was way back when. We were talking about the guy. Was it Jim Quick? It might have been Jim Quick talking about how he kept seeing pugs everywhere mm-hmm. after his sister was dropping hints, sending him pictures of cute pugs because she wanted a pug for her birthday or something.
No, I can't remember if it was him or if it was near.
I can't remember. It was one of those two, wasn't it? But basically what they were saying was that the idea had been put into their head and all of a sudden, mm-hmm. all they could see everywhere where they were out were pugs, you know. Mm-hmm. But those pugs were always there, but you started noticing them. So it's interesting. You can actually approach this from a very logical perspective. Mm-hmm. And explain it that way. You know, you don't have to get woo-woo about it if you don't want to.
Yeah.
You've got to just have that frame of mind, set up the right frame of mind, basically, is what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah. And some say where your focus goes, energy flows. Mm. So if your focus is going on to the negative, negative energy will continue to flow. If your focus goes on to positive and possibility energy will be flowing. So as you can tell, I was geeking out listening to this episode. It just fits in with many things you and I have talked about and in my own journey. And now I'll probably have to listen to her newest book.
Sounds good. Sounds very interesting. We don't have time to dive into the, it's really my wheelhouse, IFS. I spent over a year in that therapy, so I know all about it. And my therapist was very impressed because I went and bought all the books and did all the research about it because I was very interested in it. But I think one of the big things to take away from that, and you kind of touched on at the beginning there when you spoke about, is this notion that, yeah, we're made up of all these different parts. But the big thing, and this is something that that I try and convey to people when they're berating parts of themselves, is to remember that, yes, there are all these parts of ourselves, but that their behavior always started from a place of protection. That what those parts were doing, their behavior that set up, usually way back in childhood, of course, was a defense mechanism, was set up to protect you. And when you just sit down and spend some time with them and accept and acknowledge that they were acting in your best interest, that actually opens you up and makes you more receptive to understanding them. And once you understand them and accept them, you can start working with them. And yes, and goes from there.
And you can more effectively soothe and meet their needs.
Absolutely.
When you're rejecting them, you're just keeping the fight going. Mm. So spoiler alert for all listeners, I imagine Daisy's going to have an upcoming episode where she talks more about IFS, because I know this is a topic that is so, you know, special to you.
It is, yeah. But that's for another day.
That's right.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us today. That sounds very interesting. I'm very keen to go and listen to Gabby and Fern now.
I think you'll enjoy it.
So that's what I'll be doing this week. Yeah.
I hope everybody has a great week and can keep the high vibration level going.
Have a great week.